ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hi, I'm Patricia Carvelis. I'm the host of the ABC's podcast Politics Now, where I'm joined by the sharpest political journalists at the ABC to bring you the big stories you need to know.
You'll hear analysis of the week that was in politics with me, Fran Kelly, joining PK for the party room.
And on Insiders on Background, join me, David Spears, as I zoom in on one big story and a key voice behind it, diving deeper into the policies, laws and people shaping our landscape.
All in the Politics Now feed. Search Politics Now on ABC Listen and hit follow so you never miss an episode.
With the Iran war entering its third week, the ripple effect is growing around the world as the global oil supply is crippled. Here, petrol and diesel prices are soaring, and in some regional areas, supply has run out. Today, David Leaney, an international supply chain expert from the ANU, on how panic buying is driving prices higher and why the government should start restricting sales. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily.
David, why don't we start here in Australia? We rely on oil from the Middle East. Then it's refined in Asia, isn't it? Just tell me about the supply chain.
We rely on oil from a number of sources. We actually don't buy that much from the Middle East, but certainly it is refined in Asia. And then most fuel that comes to Australia is shipped from Singapore and lands at various points around Australia. And to put that in context, about 20 million barrels a day of oil usually flow through that Strait of Hormuz, that choke point between the UAE and Iran. And that's about 20% of the world supply. And at the moment, because that can't get through, the oil is being shipped through a pipeline called the East-West Pipeline across Saudi Arabia to the other side of Saudi Arabia on the through the Red Sea. And that can only handle about 20% of that volume. So instead of 20 million barrels a day, only about 4 million barrels a day go through that fairly skinny pipeline out the other direction.
All right. But we do have reserves here, don't we? So now just tell me, how much have we got stockpiled?
That's right. At any given time, Australia only has about a month's worth of fuel. 30 to 36 days worth of fuel. There's three categories of fuel that we track with that. There's diesel, which is the most important one. The diesel not only powers the national transport network of semi-trailers and diesel-fueled trains, but it powers the farm machinery that actually produces the goods that we rely on. There's petrol, and then there's aviation fuel, which is kerosene. But just because we've got a month's worth across the country doesn't mean every spot in the country has a month. A lot of places around the country only have about a week's worth of fuel.
Wow.
So there's a month's worth of fuel dotted around the country, but not evenly and not equally distributed. There are natural points where there's more or less, and the most we usually have is about a month, and typically the least that we usually have in any particular point is about a week. And that is fine when everything flows smoothly, and it's not fine when you get disruptions like the floods, which is actually one of the major causes for our current issues, is the floods in the northern half of Australia.
Right. So is there people in Australia, in parts of Australia, like in the Northern Territory, where the floods are, that would already be experiencing problem with supply, with actually getting fuel?
Absolutely. There are towns who are totally out of fuel already. And it's not just NT. And this is one of the things that it doesn't necessarily make sense intuitively, but as soon as somebody explains it, it makes sense. The truck that is currently stuck the other side of the floods in the Northern Territory, that truck was then going to be going down the East Coast, and in 2 weeks' time, it was going to be delivering fuel from Melbourne to Deniliquin or something. And so because things are stuck in odd spots, the trucks, all sorts of other items in our supply chain, it means the supply chain isn't flowing, and it means you run out in places like South Australia or Victoria or all over the place.
Yeah.
So there are places that have run out of fuel already, and they are waiting on further supplies to get to them.
Well, some of that stockpile that we spoke about, David, has, of course, already been released by the Energy Minister, Chris Bowen.
The minimum stock obligation, which was introduced by the Albanese government in 2023 for, if you like, the rainy day, is now necessary.
So we have a reserve as part of that strategic fuel reserve, and the minister can and has release a certain amount of that reserve. And there's some other actions that the government has taken already to improve the situation. Now we only have two refineries that actually process fuel. And a lot of the fuel that is processed by our refineries is sold internationally because it doesn't meet the very strict Australian standards for emission control.
Mm.
You can still have fuel that's incredibly usable and a good quality product. It's just meant for an overseas market. So what the minister has done is allowed a temporary relaxation of those strict emission control standards so that that fuel can be redirected within Australia. And there's a few other things that are being considered by government at the moment.
Okay, so he's released about 6 days' worth of petrol and 5 days' worth of diesel. Doesn't sound like a lot.
No, that's right. And these sound like great big volumes when you talk about 100 million litres here and 100 million litres there. But because it does get used up really quickly, it's much more sensible to talk about it in terms of number of days. You'll also have heard several people from government and other areas saying we don't actually have a supply problem at the moment.
Mm. The sort of, you know, inflammatory running out language, we are nowhere near that. We have minimum stock obligations in place. I've announced a sensible calibration of those.
The big message for every Australian is don't panic.
The same amount of fuel that has always come into Australia on a weekly or monthly basis is currently coming into Australia on a weekly or monthly basis. And that's true. What we've got is a distribution problem, and there's a demand issue as well, because people are, you know, grabbing the last remaining jerry can from Bunnings and going up and filling up extra.
So the stockpiling's part of the problem, is it? And does that then push up the price at the pump?
It does, yeah. So when people are, you know, draining the supplies by having this peak in demand, it does make the problem worse for everybody else. A prioritisation system is a fairly simple thing that could and should be done, in my view.
Mm.
So, for example, let's prioritise emergency services first. And then after that, let's give some priority to farmers and regional areas.
So you think the government should already be putting in place some sort of restrictions, do you?
It's one of those ones where it's a really tough situation, because if you put in a limit on purchase, for example, which is the first thing I'd recommend, you could go to a rationing system where it's odds and evens for number plates. So you can't buy fuel on a Tuesday, you got to wait till a Wednesday. I think an easier one to do is a limit, just to say that you can't buy more than, say, 80 litres of petrol or you know, any fuel type. Or if you're a semi-trailer, you might be 1,500 litres of diesel. It might be necessary just to calm things down. The difficulty, of course, is it does increase the nervousness and the behaviour around the fuel supply.
As you say, we're already paying a lot more for our petrol when we fill up. I mean, significantly more in a very short period of time.
Absolutely. Price of diesel's gone crazy.
Here in New South Wales, particularly for E10, we're seeing prices as high as $2.62. The average is currently around $2.07.
Darwin has the highest average price, while Canberra's got the lowest. But Perth was where prices went up the most, up 60 cents a litre.
Seeing the petrol price last night has actually really shocked me.
We've got half a tank just in case.
Actually, I am panicked, so I think some people are going to be panicked too.
But I guess what people have in their mind, is that companies profiteering or is that the real cost?
The more expensive fuel that we're making its way into those storage tanks in a month's time is definitely going to cost the fuel companies more. The fuel that they've got in their storage tanks right now that they're selling at the Bowser, they bought a month ago, quite cheap prices. So this is a case of supply and demand. Free market economy. The responsibility of the fuel companies is not to look after the public. The responsibility of fuel companies is to provide a return on investment to their shareholders.
Mm.
And they're doing that, yes, to make more money, but also to dampen down some of the demand and to deal with some of the panic buying behaviour. But there's still a case where, is it fair that the prices have gone up that much that quickly? Because there's no way their costs have gone up that quickly.
In terms of the stockpile that we have, do you think that's enough? Do you think we are actually well prepared for this sort of event? Or is there actually a chance that we could run out if this is a protracted war?
So 1/6 of the world's oil is currently blocked. That means 5/6 of the world's oil is still getting through. So it shouldn't mean that we run out. It means that we need to be sensible about the way that we monitor and manage our oil. To go back to your other question, Sam, on the strategic fuel reserve and is 30 days enough? Well, I don't think it is. I would say there is a case for increasing Australia's strategic fuel reserve and increasing our self-sufficiency as well. It's currently set at just over a month. We've got a month on site in country and contractual access to another 2 months off site. I'd change that around. I'd make it 60 days in country and access rights to 30 days offshore. I think that would be difficult, complex and expensive, but it would mean that we'd have more self-sufficiency.
Well, David, let's turn then to the Strait of Hormuz.
Towering metal skeletons, all that's left of tankers attacked by Iran as it pushes its advantage in the Gulf.
Donald Trump, he says he's hitting back with powerful bombing raids. And now, of course, he's also called on other nations, including China, to help protect the strait so ships can pass again.
Nice to have other countries police that with us, and we'll help, we'll work with them. Militarily, as far as I'm concerned, we've essentially defeated Iran.
Now, I mean, talk about complicated, and, you know, that could be an escalation in this war, right, if nations agreed to that, particularly China.
Yes, and the countries that are most impacted, by the way, of the shortage of that particular oil are actually China, India, South Korea and Japan. Mm. The challenge for President Trump is he can't bomb his way out of this because Iran has laid, according to some reports, it's laid mines in that choke point. Between 4,000 and 6,000 mines are estimated, which makes it incredibly difficult and dangerous. And they've already been attacking. I think there's something like 10 oil tankers have been attacked by Iran and destroyed. This is incredibly dangerous for life and limb. It's also dangerous to incredibly expensive equipment. It's a $100 million oil tanker. Do you really want to risk that? Or is it best to wait another week or two and see if it's safe? And it's also difficult because it's very, very hard to stop Iran being able to launch attacks. This is being caused by missiles, by drones, by mines, and by unmanned surface, cheap surface vessels. They basically get a speedboat, they fill it full of explosives, they point it at an oil tanker and they set it off, or they remote control it. And so they're very cheap to attack and very difficult and expensive to defend.
All right. Well, Donald Trump, of course, he's also removed sanctions that were in place on Russia and Russian oil. So, I mean, it's been noted Russia's going to make quite a bit of money out of this war. Just explain that. And have we ever relied on Russian oil before?
We don't, and we won't in the future either, because it just doesn't go to us because of geography. Mm-hmm. But the removal of the Russian oil sanctions is to take the pressure off Europe. Russia is was previously, you know, the number one supplier in the world to Europe for oil, and the sanctions restricted Russian supply to Europe, and Europe looked to alternate sources, including the Middle East. The removal of those sanctions is not really about helping Russia. It's about helping Europe. It does, unfortunately, benefit Russia from that point of view. Also benefits, all of this benefits the American oil companies, who, of course, have had the opportunity to strengthen their position and are benefiting from the price increases as well.
But tell me, even if the war does end, even if it ends tomorrow, how long does it take for that to happen, for supplies to actually return to normal?
The answer is 2 months.
Wow.
So if we solve this problem magically tomorrow, and of course it won't unfortunately happen tomorrow, it will take another 2 months before the global supply chain is running again and running reasonably smoothly again. So there's no use panic buying this week, because what about next week? What about the week after? What about the week after? So unfortunately, we have high prices and some challenges on distribution and availability for some months to come.
David Leaney is a specialist in international supply chain management at the Australian National University. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed. Audio production by Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.